What I want to speak today is our faith and what it looks like to have the faith to be able to do what God has orchestrated and created us and wants us to do, the things that he's leading us to do. And for you as Church on the Rock, one of those things as a church is going to two services, but it's not just that. There's things in your individual life that God is looking at you and he's saying, this is what I'm orchestrating in your life. This is what I'm preparing you to do. This is what I'm preparing for you. And then we go, whoa. Okay, God. And then we have to step out in faith. And so that's something that my family and I, so I'm preaching very much, this is preaching to myself. So if none of you get anything out of this, it was still worth it, okay? So because I needed to read, I'm reading this stuff and it's convicting. I'm like, man, where is my faith? And faith has been a theme for us the last couple of months. And so I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 5. We're going to be looking in Luke chapter 5. We're going to be looking at this story of some friends and their lame man. When I say lame, I don't mean he's lame like we use it. He can't walk, okay? So let's just go ahead and get that out of the way. But we're going to be looking at this story and look at the faith of these guys. Look at the faith of these men as they bring their friend to Jesus. And just to set just a little bit of a backstory, what I want you to see is last week, Rashad already talked about how the disciples caught all these fish. Jesus does this miracle, and then he's doing healings and things like that. He actually heals a man and tells him, don't go tell anybody. Just go tell the priests, let them know, and take the offering that's required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed, and that will be a public testimony that you've been cleansed. But don't tell people how you were cleansed. I don't want people, like, hoarding around me and everything. And the guy's like, okay, Jesus. And then he goes and tells everybody, because that's how we do, right? And so he goes and he tells everyone. And now everyone is coming to Jesus, and he's like rock star status. So anytime Jesus enters a city or a home or a synagogue or whatever, there are always people that just come out of the woodworks to see Jesus. So I want you to just take a moment right now and blurt out some answers. Like, who is like a high-profile celebrity? Just anybody. Anybody got one? An actual high-profile celebrity. Kim Kardashian. What was yours? Sylvester Stallone. No, they got to be alive. Beyonce. What's that? Black Panther. Black Panther. Like the character or the guy who plays the character? So just imagine for a moment, like, If one of those people, maybe not Kim Kardashian, but if one of those people, just one of them, walked through those doors, everybody here would be like, get off the stage. Somebody, clear some space. Like, nobody's paying attention to the guy in a Harry Potter shirt anymore. By the way, who was thinking that? Right, okay, yeah. Yeah, everybody's like, ignore him. Look who just walked through the door. That was Jesus. Jesus was to the point where no matter where he went, there were people that were just gathering around him because he was a rock star. Man, you go to Jesus, you get healed. You hear teaching from somebody who speaks with authority. Like, who is this guy, man? Have you heard him speak? Woo! That's Jesus. And so he's going to all these places, and in verse 17, we see this phrase. It says, one day, just some random day, some day where 197 people show up, you know, where 220 people show up, whatever the number is, one day, he goes to this house. He was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. There is so much to unpack there. We don't have all the time in the world this morning. They told me I only had a half an hour, so I'm going to take maybe 38 minutes. But there's so much there. The Lord had empowered Jesus to heal. And there's a lot of theology in that. But let's go to the next verse. One day he was teaching, and God had given him the power to heal. So guess what? Everybody's coming. Everybody's like, Jesus is healing again. Let's go see Jesus. And so they start gathering around, and they've packed out the house. It's standing room only, and there's probably people standing outside the house. I wasn't there. I don't know. But Luke 5:18 says, and some men, doesn't say who they are. They're just some men. They're some friends. They were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in and set him down in front of him being Jesus. Verse 19 says this, says, but not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles with his stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. Let's keep going. Seeing their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. What? Wait a second. I can't walk, and you're telling me that my faith is forgiven? That's not his response, but let's go look at what the response of the people around said. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this man that speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins except for God? And Jesus is like, yeah, exactly. So verse 22 says, Jesus, aware of their reasonings, answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Verse 23, which is easier to say, your sins have been forgiven you, or to say, get up and walk? Uh-oh, something's coming. Ready? Verse 24, but so that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic. So he's like, guys, just to prove to you that I have the authority to do this, and he looks at the man and he says, I say to you, get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home. Verse 25, immediately, because that's the power of God. Immediately, he got up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. Amen. Look at verse 26. They were all struck with astonishment and began glorifying God. And they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen remarkable things today. Man, that's good. Let's pray one more time because I got to calm down. God, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for these examples that you give us through the scriptures. God, I pray that we're able to pull them out, that we are able, in context, to really understand what it means to have deep, true faith. And so, God, use me once again as your speaker. God, speak clearly through me. I want your word to be clear. It's too important not to be. So we love you. We thank you once again for who you are and what you've done for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you again so much for your attention. First thing that I want to do here is talk about how true faith is relentless. True faith is relentless. So if you're taking notes, if you're jotting stuff down, if you're really techie and you're just taking pictures, go ahead. That's the first point. True faith is relentless. It doesn't care. It doesn't care what stands in front of it. It doesn't care what the obstacles are. It's relentless. So let's look at the scripture one more time. Look, if you will, to verse 17. We're going to go with 17, 18, and 19. It says this. One day he was teaching. We know that. There were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. I want you guys to realize what's going on here. It names three different places. It names Jerusalem, like the proper area of where they are. But then people are coming from all of Judea. And not only that, but Galilee itself, the place where Jesus was supposedly from, there are people from all this area. People are coming in droves to see Jesus. That's how many people are packing this place out. I don't know what kind of building it was. It seems like it was some kind of a house. I wasn't there, so I don't know, but there are probably people in the streets just trying to listen in, and other people who had children who were demon-possessed or people who had ailments that needed to be healed, and they're looking to have an encounter with Jesus. And then verse 18 says, and some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in and to set him down in front of Jesus. They're wanting to bring, they're so desperate for their friend to be in front of Jesus. Are they more desperate than everybody else? I don't think so. I don't think they're more desperate than all the other people that want to be healed. So don't miss that. There are other people there that want to be healed. What I do think is that they have more of is faith. They, they aren't any more desperate, but they got more faith. They're like, we know this is about to happen. We're not just kind of hopeful and wishing that maybe this is going to happen. No, we know this is going to happen. If we could just get him to Jesus. And their faith is relentless. Look at verse 19. It says this, not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and they let him down through the tiles with his stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. The faith of these friends, they said, we're not letting anything stand in our way. We are going to encounter Jesus today. We are going to get our friend in front of Jesus. And we know it's going to happen. We know it. We believe it. We've seen it. We've heard it. It's crazy. And we're not going to let anything stop us. We're not going to let anything stand in our way. This is where I start preaching to myself, okay? Because so many times, and even the last couple of months, I've been letting things stand in the way of what God's called me to do because it was in the way. And I'm like, well, I guess that's a sign from God. No, God's just saying find a different way. I had the opportunity to preach at my brother's church a few weeks ago, and we were talking about moving mountains, and one of the thoughts that I had was, what if God doesn't move the mountain? See, God said that if you have faith, that you can move the mountain, but he doesn't say that he will move the mountain. And so if he doesn't move the mountain, then what do? Well, then you find another way to accomplish what God's called you to do. You find another way to establish your faith in Christ. And that's what these people were doing. That's what these men were doing. They're like, we can't get in through the door. There's too much of a crowd. We can't expect him to get to us. There's too many people. We're going on the roof. We're going to be a little risky. We're going to do something. We don't know how it's going to work out. We're going to take our lame, paralyzed friend up on top of the roof, which is dangerous. We're going to carry him up there. That's a lot of labor. And then we're going to drop him down and hopefully not actually drop him, but lower him down. Like, they're putting a whole lot into this, all because of their faith in Jesus. And this is what I want to throw at you, is that action equals achievement. Amen. James said it this way, that faith without works is dead. And he's not saying that your works are what save you. He's saying works are what verify, what affirm your faith. So what do you achieve when you do nothing? Open question. What do you achieve when you do nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing. Awesome. Yeah, great. And so where's faith in that? Exactly. When you do something, though, just anything, something's going to happen. God's going to reveal something. Maybe things don't happen the way you want them to happen. Maybe the achievement isn't what you wanted to achieve, but something gets achieved when you act. And then God gets the glory out of it, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Achievement or action equals achievement. And faith has to be relentless. If you want God to do something great in your life, your faith has to be relentless. You have to go at no cost. You've got to take risks. You've got to say, I believe this much. You don't get the security net. There is no security net when it comes to God. God is the security net. So what are we looking for? What are we waiting on? You know, we have all these thoughts of, you know, well, I got to make sure this is taken care of, and what about that, and this part of my life, and that part of my... Didn't we trust our lives to God? Surrender. It's all about surrender. And so if we're going to have faith, we have to take action. Faith has to be relentless. I want to remind you of a story in Daniel chapter 3 of some guys, and this is the kind of faith that we have to have. Because sometimes the mountain doesn't move, and they understood that. So in Daniel 3:16, I believe through 19, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, awesome names. If you're pregnant, there you go. There's some names to consider. Abednego would be just right on, man. Just name that kid Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, there's another good one, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. Basically, the king says, I want you to worship this idol of myself that I've created, and there's going to be a day separated, sanctified for worshiping me. And they said, no. Verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. That's the kind of faith they had. Our God can deliver us. And we're like, yeah, yeah, woo, faith. And then verse 18, but even if he does not, wait. That's the kind of faith that we're supposed to have. When we see faith, when we see the good stuff happen, we're like, woo, yeah. But when we consider that there is another possibility, that's when our faith starts getting kind of shaky and we're like, whoa, I don't know if I have trust in God that much. That's a little different. Faith is relentless. And they're looking in the face of the king of the known world, the emperor, the conquering king, Nebuchadnezzar, who had been just wiping out nations and taking captives. There are three of them. And he said, I want you to bow down and I want you to worship me. As you bow down to this idol, and they said, we're not going to bow down to you. We have one God. We're only going to bow down to him. And he's able to deliver us. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. I don't care if you throw us in the fire and God doesn't save us. We know that God can deliver us if he wants to deliver us, and we're not budging. Amen. That's faith. Faith says, I don't care what the consequences are. I know who God is. And so I'm going to rely on that. Faith has to be relentless. Faith has to be relentless. And then this is the next thing, is that true faith is rewarded. True faith is rewarded. Let's go back to the scripture one more time in Luke. It says this, one day he was teaching and there were some, let's go to verse 20. Seeing their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven you. And that's the first. Let's stop for just a second. That's the first way that we see that his faith is rewarded. I believe that these guys recognized who Jesus was, not just that he was healing people, but that he was a great teacher, that he was, at the very least, a prophet of God. Who knows if how deep they knew, how deep they believed in who he was as the Son of God. But they recognized him as a great teacher of the Word of God, and they recognized him as a great healer, and they recognized the greatness of Jesus. And so they lower their friend down before Jesus, and he looks at him and he says, not you're healed, but he says, your sins are forgiven. Because of your faith, your sins are forgiven. Talk about a reward, man. Like, the guy was paralyzed. Jesus could have healed him, but anything could have happened. He could have walked out and got hit by a chariot and been paralyzed again, right? I mean, who knows? I hadn't slept the best this week. I got backaches and headaches and all kinds of aches. Like, bodies break down, right? Things happen. And we laugh at that, but think about just in the past year what this church has been through, physically, what people have been through. People that stared death in the face. People with all kinds of illnesses and ailments and critical, just physical issues, and you're trying to overcome them, and man, it's so hard. But you know what? You know what's secure? You know what doesn't go away? You know what can never be taken away? Is our salvation that we are given through the blood of Jesus. And the only one that can forgive sins is God himself. And Jesus, as the Son of God, here he refers to himself as the Son of Man. He says, your sins are forgiven. It's not about you physically. It's not about whether or not you can physically walk. It's about where your spirit is. And I'm telling you because of your faith that your sins are forgiven. You are secure. I am rewarding your faith, not here on earth, but eternally. Now that's good stuff. I'm going to reward you eternally. Your sins are forgiven. Faith is rewarded. And we need to recognize that things don't always go the way that we want in my family or in my relationship with my wife or in my relationship with my kids or at work or with my friends or if I ain't got any friends. Like, life is hard. Somebody say amen to that because I know you guys believe that. Life is hard, but you know what? God is good, and God is eternal, and there's more to this life than just this earth. And that gives me so much hope. And when I start thinking in eternity, when I start thinking in that realm, and I start thinking about how much God has done for me, man, I don't deserve it. My faith is rewarded. And so I have to take a step back and I got to go, man, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me once again. Just let me have faith in what you're doing in my life and in who you are. Amen. And then he rewards it, and then he rewards it, and then he rewards it. Let's keep going. Verse 20 says he forgives him his sins. And then verse 21, the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And then verse 22, but Jesus, aware of their reasonings, answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Next verse, which is easier, to say your sins have been forgiven you or to say get up and walk? But so you know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up and pick up your stretcher and go home. Get up, show them what it's all about. And then immediately, look at this. That's a good addition to the sermon. Immediately, in verse 25, it says that he got up. Because that, again, is the power of God. And his faith is rewarded. And the faith of his friends is rewarded. Their faith in Jesus and what he was able to do, it was rewarded. And not only were they able to see an eternal change in this man's life for his sins to be forgiven, but they got to see this physical change and this healing happen in his life. And so what I want to ask you is, first of all, are you aware that God is doing things in your life? Are you aware of the rewards to your faith that God has given you? Because so many times, again, we get caught up in life because life is hard. And I don't want to belittle that in any way. But how many times do we get so distracted by life that we lose sight of the rewards that God has given us? Like we could start and end at salvation. Jesus died for me, and as long as I'm willing to put my faith in him, then he saves me for eternity. All right, like I don't deserve that, so anything else is just, that's the cherry on top, right? There's a lot of cherries on top. I have my health. I have a family who loves me, a wife, my kids, who sometimes obey me. I do have friends. I had a great family growing up. What in your life, what specifically can you think of that God has rewarded you? Right now, God is leading us, and we feel a little kind of lost, but so what? Man, God has gotten us to this point. God has allowed me to interact and to get to know many of you. That wouldn't have happened if I hadn't gone through some of the things and followed God and kind of stepped out on a limb. And so my faith is rewarded because of you, so thank you. But how has God rewarded your faith? Waking up this morning. Even though it was an hour earlier. Think about that. Use some time this week to think, how has God rewarded your faith? And here's the thing, is God loves to reward our faith. And so our faith is unlike so much other stuff. See, God, is everybody afraid I'm going to spill this? Faith in God is not the same as the grace of God. This picture doesn't even do justice to the grace of God, okay? Because the grace of God doesn't really end. There's so much of it. But our faith in God is really maxed out at our capacity to put our faith in God, at the extent to which we are allowing ourselves to trust God. And so if this is our capacity, and God's like, okay, I'm going to bless your faith, I'm going to reward your faith, here you go. And he pours in the blessings and the rewards. And he's like, maxed out. And he's like, okay, where's your faith? Increase your faith. Because I want to reward you more. I've still got more to bless you with. I've still got more to reward you with. I've still got more that I want to do with you. And so he's asking us to increase our faith, and the capacity of our faith allows us to be blessed more if we just are willing to put our trust in him more. And so I'm going to dump this back in here because I really am going to spill it if I try to go from this one to the next one. But so we got the blessings of God, and God saying, I want you to go from this kind of faith to this kind of faith. Because I want to fill you up, but I want to fill you up with so much more than you're already filled, but you don't have the capacity for it. So you need to increase your faith in me. You need to put more trust in me so that I can bless you more, so that I can reward you more. And then all of a sudden we went from, you know, what, 12 ounces maybe? And we just keep going, man. That fills about half of this up. Now we got double the reward. You know, we could just keep going and keep going. This is the kind of faith that God wants us to have. A faith that increases. A faith that keeps being relentless. A faith that keeps stepping out on the limb, even though the limb may fall out from underneath us. He wants us to have that kind of faith because he wants to reward that kind of faith. Going back to the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, spoiler alert, God saved them and delivered them from the fiery furnace. And they knew that there was a possibility that it wasn't going to happen. They even said it to the king. But God said, you know, because of your faith, because you were willing to step out on a limb, first of all, I'm going to be in your presence in the fire. I'm going to be there to comfort you, encourage you, and applaud you for your faith. But then you're going to walk out unsinged. And so they walk out, and he rewards their great faith because their capacity for him, their capacity for their trust in who God is and what he's able to do was so great. And so he did something so great in their life. Same for this man, a paralyzed man lowered down before the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm going to change your eternity, and then I'm going to change your right now. And I'm going to reward your faith. So what is God doing in your life to reward your faith? Where is your faith? And if you're like, man, I'm not seeing a whole lot of rewards right now, well, then check your faith. Right? Then check your faith. Because here's the thing. Belief equals benefit. Belief equals great benefit. And the more we believe about Jesus, the more we believe in Jesus, the more we trust him. Because the reason I keep saying more, the more we believe in him, James tells us even the demons believe. Well, our belief has to surpass that then, right? Because I don't want the same result as the demons. And so our belief has to go further than that. It has to be true faith. It has to be real trust in Jesus. And then the last thing that I want to share with you, last thing, and then we'll get ready to wrap up. I don't want to lie to you, is that true faith is responsive. True faith is responsive. What do I mean by that? Let's look back at the scripture one more time. We're going to look at verses 25 and 26. Look what happened. First of all, immediately he got up before them. I can't say it enough. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. Immediately he was able to get up and walk out of there. And you see dramatizations, you see movies and stuff like that about Jesus and healing and everything. And they see the guy kind of struggling. He's like, and then he stands up and everybody's like, you know, and it's really dramatic and everything. That's not what the scripture says. It says immediately. Like, I think he did this. I think he's laying there, and I think he went like this. I don't think there was any like slow, oh, my legs are wobbling. No, he just got up. Immediately he got up before them and he picked up what he had been lying on and he went home. And then check this out, went home doing what? Say it with me. Glorifying God. His response to Jesus was, I want to glorify you, God. Like, I want people to recognize who did this. I was lame, I was a paralytic, and now I'm walking and I'm carrying out the mat that brought me here. The mat that carried me, now I'm carrying it. That's crazy. And so this is all God, and we say that sometimes, but there's a lot of times where I'm like, has it become a buzzword, a buzz phrase? It's just a catchphrase for Christians now. It's like, that's a God thing. That's a God thing. You know, anybody guilty of that? I'm raising my hand, so I'm not throwing you under the bus. Anybody's like, man, that's just a God thing. All right, so I'm the only one. Okay, cool. y'all are better Christians than me. But a lot of times we tend to say, oh, that's a God thing, man. That was a God thing. Are we recognizing the God things in our own lives, though? And then are we actually saying that to people? Are we saying, let me share a God thing with you. Let me glorify God. Let me show you who he is. Let me point to God. So immediately he went home glorifying God. First of all, he gets up. That already is visual enough of responding to Jesus. He didn't go, no, I'm good. I'm comfortable here. We do that, right? Do you know how long it's been since I walked? Maybe he never walked. It doesn't really tell us about this guy's specific situation. Maybe he was born paralyzed. We don't know. And so Jesus says, get up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the guy could have said, I don't know. I'm comfortable where I am. Again, I don't know about you. I don't know everybody here. But I've done that. God, I'm comfortable where I am. God, don't make me uncomfortable. Was this guy an extrovert or an introvert? Maybe he didn't like big crowds. Now he's in front of everybody. And Jesus is like, get up and walk. And the guy's like, I'm good. I don't want the spotlight on me, you know. He didn't respond that way, though. Do you see this? Immediately, he got up and walked. Picked up what he had been lying on, went home glorifying God. Next verse, verse 26. They were all struck with astonishment. They were all struck with astonishment. All. Okay? I know that Church on the Rock has seen the power of God. I know that you've seen the majesty and the greatness of God. I know you can look around right now and just see how full this place is. And I would say this is probably a light day. Right? Especially like last week, that was a big day, right? That's the blessing of God, right? So you look around and you see it, and you're all struck with astonishment. You're like, why 200 people show up? Amen. Struck with astonishment. You're in awe of God. That is the response. True faith responds to God. We recognize that our faith isn't in ourselves. It's in God. Our faith responds to the one who deserves the credit, and it's Jesus. And so they were all struck with astonishment and began glorifying God. And they're all like, man, this is crazy. I'm thinking days and weeks later, they're like, did you hear about Jebediah? I don't know the guy's name, but did you hear what Jesus did for him? He was lame and now he walks. I was there. And I saw him get up and walk out. And everybody's like, really? Yeah, it was crazy. You should have been there. And the glory goes to God because faith, true faith, is responsive and recognizes that we don't do these things in and of ourselves. That's because of who God is, and it's our willingness to have faith in who God is that he blesses it. And so we're like, thank you, God. And then guess what? People hear that and they go, wait, what about God? Well, let me tell you. And we give glory to God because God deserves the glory. Man, how do we sometimes so easily miss it? But we do. And I love this guy's response. I love that he goes out and glorifies God. I would just challenge you. Go look. See how many times, especially in the New Testament, about Jesus from his birth all the way through. And they gave glory to God. And they glorified God. And they gave glory to God. And they glorified God. And they honored God. All of those things. Starting at his birth. I'm thinking specifically about the shepherds. Like, they were astonished. Same kind of word. It's the same word that's used in this verse. They were astonished. You just go a couple, it's actually Luke 2, just a few chapters before. And they go and see these great things that the angels were telling about. And they see the Messiah, and it's just as the angel said. And they walk away, or they run away, I think, from the manger, glorifying God. They recognize the promises of God that are being fulfilled by God, and because of their faith in God, they give him the glory. So when things are happening in your life, are you giving the glory to God? Are we, I'm going to throw myself in there because, man, there are days that's not the truth. There are days, yesterday ended rough for me. And I was tired, and I'm like, I got to preach. I got to preach tomorrow. And I'm in a funk, and I want sleep. I just want to fall asleep. I don't want to deal with this right now. You know, I got to get up an hour earlier to preach. Like, all those thoughts were going through my head, and I'm like, I just want to go to sleep, and I just want to ignore this, and I don't want to deal with it right now. And in those moments, there's no glory to God in that. And so in that moment, I'm asking for God's forgiveness. And you know what? God forgave me. Glory to God. Amen. Right? He forgave me. So we have to give credit to who credit is due. Our faith has to be relentless. Our faith has to not care. It has to not care what might happen. It just has to recognize who God is. And we just have to keep our eyes on him. And say, God, I'm following you. I know there are things that are in the way. I know there are obstacles. I'm going to do everything that I can to overcome those obstacles. But God, if this is really you, if this is what you want me to achieve, if this is what you want me to do, I know that it can happen. So no matter what the obstacles, I'm going to do it. I'm going full steam ahead. I'm going to climb the house. I'm going to break away the roof. And I'm going to lower my friend in because I have that kind of faith in you. I'm going to walk through the fire because I have that kind of faith in you. I'm going to move my family from 500 or 600 miles away and go to a place where I don't really have a home yet. I haven't established a residence because I have that kind of faith in you, God. I believe that much that that's what you've called me to do and that's what you want me to achieve, and you haven't shut the door, slamming it in my face yet, so I'm just going to keep going no matter what obstacles are in my way. Church on the Rock saying, we're going to go to two services because we're maxing out our capacity and we don't know what it's going to look like. Not even sure we're really prepared for that. But we want more people to glorify God and to hear about the story and the magnificence of Jesus. So we're going to go to two services. Because as a church, we have that kind of faith in God. And that is amazing. It's a testament to who you are. But individually, because it starts there, you can only do that as a church. If individually, you can have that kind of faith in God. Your faith has to be relentless. And when your faith is relentless, God will reward it. Here's the thing that I keep hearing is that we are going to two services. Not we're thinking about it or we might try it. No, we're going to two services. Because we believe that God's going to reward it. And last week and in the past 2-3 months, I believe, is God rewarding Church on the Rock and what you're doing here in this community. Amen. And so your faith, but individually, is God rewarding you? And if he is, recognize those rewards. Recognize the blessings of God in your life. And then respond to it, because true faith responds. True faith responds. So, give the glory back to God. Why are you going to two services? Because God. Let me tell you what God's doing. Let me show you. Why don't you come and experience what God's doing? And you have opportunity just to give glory to God, the glory that he deserves. And so I want to wrap up with that. And just ask you just to bow for a moment. And close out the distractions. And I think the first question that you have to ask yourself is, where is my faith on this seemingly sliding scale? Where is my faith? Maybe it starts with salvation. Maybe it's that first moment of putting your faith in God and recognizing that Jesus died for your sins because you're not good enough. We're like the paralytic. We can't heal ourselves. We can't save ourselves. There's nothing that we can do in our own power to make it happen. So maybe it starts at the cross for you. Maybe that's where you need to be with your faith. Jesus died for you, gave his life for you because he loves you. And you just put your faith in him for that. Because the beauty of it is that he came back 3 days later, arose from death, arose from the grave, and is victorious. That's somebody worth putting your faith in. Start at the cross. Talk to somebody here about the cross. Ask questions about the cross. It's too important to pass up. But I really believe that I'm talking to Jesus followers, to believers this morning. And what I want to say to you is, look at your faith. Where is your faith? What has God done in your life to reward your faith? What can you give him glory for because of the faith that you've placed in him and how he has blessed that? Do you need an increase of faith? I think we could all use that. And then as a church, collectively, having faith that God is just going to he's going to blow this thing up wide open. Man, could you imagine that people of faith who come together giving glory to God, what a community, what a family like that could do in their city. You guys are already doing it. So what does your faith look like? Father God, we worship you and we praise you and we love you. And God, forgive us when our faith is weak and when it is frail. Help us to have more faith. Help us to see your greatness that we sang about earlier. God, we cannot do this without you in our lives, just our lives, much less as a church family, God. Church on the Rock can't do this without you. And I know they know that. I know they believe it. Increase our faith and then help us to step out on that faith and to pursue you and what you've called us to. Thank you for giving yourself to us because we so desperately need you. So thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand and worship. If you need to respond, come kneel, pray.
Thank you for taking the time to join us on this podcast from Church on the Rock here in Brownsburg, Indiana. If you would like any more information about our church family, our pastor, or where we meet, please visit our website, www.churchontherockbb.com.